You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to delve into. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. I feel like we're playing a little bit of catch-up coming off of last week. We were off last week, but it feels good to be back in the swing of things.
Yeah, I missed recording last week.
Yeah.
Like,
it felt like I haven't seen you in, like forever.
A week, yeah, I know. Or 2 weeks, rather.
Where have you gone, Mike?
I don't know. I was here shoveling snow.
But you weren't here.
That's it. That's all you were doing.
That's all I was doing. Essentially. But no, I legitimately missed recording. This podcast is, you know, it's awesome. It's a chance for us to hang out. And honestly, it's how I stay informed on a lot of issues. If I didn't have to research a podcast, I would know nothing right now. I'm kidding.
A professor.
I'm a... Shh, we don't talk about that.
Professor Costanzo over here.
Professor Costanzo. I know. Shocking, right?
Does your class call you Professor Costanzo?
Yes. In my emails, I write Mr. Costanzo, but they call me Professor Costanzo.
You should put Professor Costanzo.
I should.
Professor of the Mighty.
Professor of the Mighty? What?
Yes. I'm giving you that title.
Professor of the Mighty. Costanzo.
Yes.
I'm the Mighty Costanzo.
There you go. Perfect.
Oh, wow. That's going to be my signature on my email. Professor of the Mighty Costanzo.
Yep, there you go.
Unnamed local college.
You would have the most unique email signature ever.
You got that right. I don't think anybody has an email signature like that. If you do, send me an email.
So there you go. A couple of the craziness that happens to come off the top of our heads, and that's why we are unscripted, unplanned, and definitely unhinged.
Off the top of the heads or scraping the bottom of the barrel? I don't know yet.
Yeah. Let's get into it. We had the blizzard happen.
Yes, we did. The blizzard of 2016.
That caused us to not record last week. Did you catch up on anything while we were snowed in the great snowpocalypse here in Philadelphia?
Hell yeah. I caught up on some House of Cards. Not all the way.
Yes!
Yeah, so I caught up on some House of Cards. Not all the way caught up, but most of the way caught up. I was joking with you. I was saying it's like I should have the record for the longest somebody has ever watched a Netflix series, because I started watching the first episode on the first day that it came out, and I'm just now getting into like season three, and I've slowly been watching it over the course of three. It's the slowest binge watch ever.
It's like you're taking 10 minutes out of your day
to slowly watch. Yeah, exactly. It's been a long process, but I've loved every second of it. But I've also had a chance to catch up on some video games. I got a chance to play some Grand Theft Auto Online, which was a lot of fun. Don't get a lot of chances to do that. Also been playing Soma and The Witness, to, first-person puzzle games. One's survival horror, one's just exploration, a quote-unquote walking simulator that also has puzzles in it. But those have been pretty good. So mostly I've just been, like, consuming a lot of entertainment. I also started watching Jessica Jones, by the way, on Netflix.
Oh, how's that?
The Marvel show. It's actually really, really good. Like, Netflix does a very good job with all their series.
Yeah.
It's of a very high quality. It's so much more character-focused than all the other Marvel movies and TV shows. Like, all the movies, you know, the character stuff is, like, there, but it's not at the forefront. Jessica Jones is more akin to like Breaking Bad or House of Cards, where it's like the character is the focal point, and then the larger plot is like there, but it's all about this character study for this female private eye. And it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah. Mike's Netflix reviews.
There you go, yeah. Have you guys heard of this new show, House of Cards? maybe I'm not the best person to take advice from. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to? Besides shoveling, of course.
Oh, because
what a pain
shoveling,
in the ass that
yeah.
is.
You know, snow's nice and pretty when it's falling and you're seeing it for the first time in the winter season. But damn it, afterwards, man, shoveling was a pain in the ass.
Oh, my God.
And we got like 2 feet here in the Philadelphia area,
yeah,
which is...
More in some places.
Which is, like, out of the ordinary for this area. I mean, I know people up in Boston are like, you know, 2 feet, you finally
2 feet.
Got...
Talk to us when you get 7 feet.
Right,
you know,
something ridiculous like that. Well, for us, you know, we're not used to it. And
usually
oh
we get 2 or 3 feet total over the course of... The entire winter.
Yeah, it all happened at once. Boom!
Yeah. This area does not have the infrastructure nor the resources to deal with that.
Yeah. But shoveling was a pain in the ass. But other than that, I caught up on some video games, too. I played Outlast, which was a very scary game.
Yeah, I actually didn't finish that one. I couldn't...
What?
I couldn't muster the nerves to play it. It was just too nerve-wracking for me.
So I beat a game that you did not...
Yes, yes, you did.
I did it!
Mamma mia! Yeah.
Talk me through boobies. Boobies.
Jerry. We
were dragon!
What is this guy, I think he's an Indian?
Right, so sorry.
She's a human!
Yeah, I did it!
So, since you're the only one of us that have actually played the game, what do you think of Outlast? You said it's scary, but...
It's scary, it's creepy. If you love Bioshock and things like that that creep you out...
It's much more intense than Bioshock, though.
Yeah, because the main element that differs from Bioshock and Outlast is that Outlast you don't actually fight the creatures. You have to hide away from the creatures.
You can't kill those things.
Which is also weird because that doesn't sound like my kind of gameplay. I like guns and
yeah.
I like blowing things up.
When you text me and you're like, I'm thinking about getting this game, I'm like, really? That game? I'm like, it's a lot of stealth. You know that, right?
Yeah.
But you played it. You did. You beat
the whole
thing.
Yeah, and here's what kept me going. The story is pretty good. I really enjoyed the story because they really take their time. I forget who it's made by. Red...
Oh, I don't know.
Red. I remember Red's in the title. But the developers behind Outlast, they really take the time to build the world that goes into this mental asylum that's just gone rogue.
Red Barrel Studios.
Red Barrel Studios, yeah. Thank you. I was right. It was Red.
It was Red, yeah.
But they really take the time to develop the world and the story behind it and just why things the way... Like there's gore and... There's weird crap that happens, but there's a reason. And I like that everything was explained. Nothing was just gore for the sake of gore.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the bits that I played of it, there was a lot of exploration elements that help explain the story. Like, you know, you find documents and just little things in the environment that clue you into what's going on here. And they did a really good job of telling the story without too much like exposition, you know,
yeah.
Or at least that's the vibe I got from it in like 2 or 3 hours of playing it.
Yep. So if you're looking for a winter thrill that'll scare you late at night, Outlast is definitely a good one. I highly recommend it. So yeah, that's what I was up to.
Yeah, that's what you do during a blizzard is you stay in, you drink some hot cocoa, you pop in a good movie you're drinking
screwdrivers.
Screwdrivers.
You know, why not?
Yeah, one or the other. You know, it's each his own. Actually, I didn't have either, so I don't know what I'm talking about. I just had water, just bottled water.
That's it?
That's, yeah.
You're boring. Come on.
I had to focus on the Grand Theft Auto online heists, you know? I can't be distracted. It's very intense. The people's... money is at stake here, Rich.
Quick question.
What? Yeah.
If I was driving in Grand Theft Auto while drinking, is that a DUI charge?
That's a good question. Judging by how you were driving while you were playing, I'd say yes.
Okay. Well, good thing that Grand Theft Auto is not real.
Oh, my my God.
And don't drink and drive, folks.
No, don't do that. Especially not when the weather's bad. Come on.
Yeah, don't do it, period.
I mean, not ever, but...
Good job, Mike.
God, I'm just...
Yeah, you'd be the worst...
don't drink and drive if the weather's bad. If the weather's fine, only do it sometimes.
Maybe you can get away with it.
Maybe you can get away with it. You see, I've been listening to too much odd news. That's the problem.
Is that what you did? You re-listened to some of our odd news bits?
Oh, of course. You gotta go back and relive all those great episodes from the past since we unfortunately didn't get an episode out that week.
Well,
I had to fill the void somehow, Rich. How do you fill the void?
Well, don't worry, folks. I will have new odd news for you to fix that craving for you. So make sure you keep on listening to the podcast. That will be later on towards the show. But right now, it's time to delve into the subjects that we have prepared. We have these plenty bountiful subjects at hand that we have to go over. And the first batch is the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep. Sports coming at you in your face.
Yeah. And, lots of sports news.
Yep. Lots of sports news, particularly football.
Simple, ordinary, unembellished, unmistakable, crystal clear, as frank as Frankenstein, as blunt as an atom bomb. One compound word, it's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' football.
Yep, a lot of football news to get to this week. Of course, everyone knows the Super Bowl's coming up, but before we launch into our complete Super Bowl coverage, we have this shocking development going on with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, this came out of left field from the Detroit. I was going to call them the New York Lions. The Detroit Lions. I don't know. I'm like,
they wish they were New York.
They wish. Yeah, really. But no, coming out of the Detroit Lions camp, wide receiver, Pro Bowl, you know, wide receiver Calvin Johnson recently announced that he is planning to retire after 9 years. As the top wide receiver for the Detroit Lions.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was really shocking. You know, so age is always an issue with NFL players. He's turning 31. He would turn 31 next season. But that's not too old for a wide receiver.
It's old in the sense of you're not going to be in the prime of your career, but it's right. Not old. You can still play.
Oh, yeah. We've seen plenty of wide receivers go to 34, 35.
Anquan Boldin this season, 35, had a great season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, players have definitely carried on past 30. But from what I'm understanding is that he's just really beat up. And the report from ESPN states that, you know, he's been battling lingering ankle injuries, quote, general body soreness to the point that it would be difficult for him to return for another season, end quote. That's what ESPN is claiming. So, you know, I guess being his size and getting the majority of the attention on offense for the Detroit Lions, maybe he's just reached a point where he's figuring the cost does not equate to the possible benefits.
I mean, this is one of those situations where if his health has really deteriorated that fast, then I guess it's a good move for him. But, oh, my God, I was looking at his contract details before we started the podcast. He's going to be leaving $12 to $13 million on the table this season. He has to go back to school, too.
He has to go back to school, yeah.
Do that, too, while you're at it. But seriously, $12 to $13 million on the table, that's almost $1 million a game.
Yeah.
And he could, you're going to leave it on the table?
He
really?
Could hypothetically show up and just say he's injured and just sit on the bench and just rake in tons of dough. But I guess he doesn't want to be that type of player. He doesn't want to, you know, linger too long, you know, past his prime, where instead of Megatron, he's like large TV or something, you know?
What?
Megatron.
Megatron, the large TV.
Megatron, I don't know why. I thought Megatron was like a type of TV. I'm stupid.
Okay.
Megatron.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too.
Megatron is a Transformer.
Yes.
I realize that now.
There you go.
When I said Megatron, I was thinking of like Megaplex or something. I don't know. It's been a long, long week.
It's been a long 2 weeks since we last recorded.
A long 2 weeks, yeah.
Pull yourself away from the TV.
Oh, God. Yeah, but anyway, like I was saying, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, fade away. He wants to go out while he's at the top of his game, I guess. And, I mean, he's walking away from a lot of money, though.
Yeah.
I would find it really hard to walk away from that money. But according to sources, these anonymous sources are saying that he's content with his decision. Yeah.
And the worst part is it sounds to me like there's nothing the Lions can do about it.
No, I mean, ultimately it's his decision.
And boy, this really is going to put a hurting on the Lions. He was like the only good player they had.
He's like one of the few good things they have going for them. Yeah.
Even Matthew Stafford regressed this season.
And what does Matthew Stafford look like without Calvin Johnson?
Right.
Because I don't think we've seen a Matt Stafford without Calvin Johnson.
Right.
And you know what? Matt Stafford's always one of those quarterbacks that's like right on the cusp, you know? Is he good? Is he bad? We don't know. Some seasons he's great. Some seasons he's awful.
This last season was horrible.
Yeah. So it could be dark days for Detroit again. They've had a lot of those.
Yeah.
So they're used to it.
Yeah, you know. Come on. It was only, 8 years ago they were 0-16?
0-16,
Let's go back down that road again. Sure, why not?
Now, there's an NFL team that probably should have moved. you got to do something to spice that franchise up a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately it is Calvin Johnson's decision. Apparently, Coach Jim Caldwell told him not to rush the decision, take his time.
Yes, please.
He's like, please, God, we need you.
Think about it.
And Johnson, to his credit, said that he would, you know, agree to think on it a little bit. But a lot of sources are also saying that he's happy with the decision, and that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, but still shocking at the ripe old age of 30.
God,
he's
so old.
Considering retirement. Or actually, for the most part, doing anything except just announcing that he's going to retire.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty grim. There would need to be something positive that happens in the off season, or his body really recovers, or something that motivates him to come back. Because right now, it seems to be he's on his way out, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It comes down to his body. It's if he can't physically go, then, you know, why struggle to try and come back, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the way that the article's worded, it makes it seem like he's, like, really battered and just tired, both physically and mentally.
Yep. So, unfortunately, that's really bad news for anybody that's a Detroit Lions fan. One of the premier wide receivers, shockingly, pretty much announcing his retirement.
Yeah.
We'll find out in the next couple months if he holds true to that statement. But if he does, a big blow to the Detroit Lions organization and to pretty much all of us that are fans
NFL fan base.
It is. He was fun to watch.
For the past decade, he's been one of the best wide receivers. You make those top five, top 10 lists, he's always up there.
Oh, yeah. So
big name player suddenly disappearing.
Yeah. So a little bit of a sad note to begin the sports sampler on. But that's the only non-Super Bowl piece of news that we had to get to. Let's launch into our Super Bowl coverage. And to launch into it, I love this. It's kind of become a new yearly tradition that we've done here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah.
I did it 1 year, and it just caught on like wildfire, and everybody wants to hear it. Mike, you definitely want to hear it.
I love it when you bring these to the table.
Every year, right before the Super Bowl happens, the episode before the Super Bowl happens, we run down all of the wackiest proposition bets that I can find in the Super Bowl. I get a hold of my bookies. I call them up on the phone. I call my sources in Vegas.
Wow. I didn't know you were so well connected.
Yes. And I find out what are the wackiest things that you can actually bet on for the Super Bowl. So, without further ado, let's launch into the proposition bets of Super Bowl 50. Yeah! And now it's official with the official gambling music.
I'm always amazed that you have official gambling music. Like, you're playing before the show, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And you go, it's my gambling music. And I'm like,
yes.
Since when do you have gambling music?
It's official gambling music.
I guess so, yeah. Why not? Also, I love the title for the segment. I was looking at you like, do you have a title for this?
No, I just ran right off the top of the head. Why not?
Yeah. Right. But I love these prop bets. They're always the craziest things. Like, I know I was re-listening to a classic segment of betting on the Gatorade, the type of Gatorade.
Yeah.
That was one of our promos.
I think that's really how we got the ball rolling on this to be a tradition, you know?
Yeah. We're all about the weird and wacky and random stuff.
Oh, yeah. So how about we do, before we jump right into it, proposition bets, for those that don't know, is these ridiculous little things that you can bet on that happen during the course of the Super Bowl, and they're legal, that you can bet online, you can bet in Vegas, and, you know, it's more than just, you know, who do you think's going to win, point spread, This is like wacky stuff.
Really oddly specific stuff. One year it was like, who's the first person the MVP is going to thank? And like,
yeah,
really like oddly specific things that apparently people keep track of.
Yeah. And you can bet.
Yeah. And you can bet. And apparently there's enough trends in these specific type of things that you can create betting lines and stuff.
Yep. So without further ado, how about, since you mentioned the Gatorade,
okay,
how about I do this year's Gatorade betting system?
Yeah, let's hear the odds for the Gatorade.
Yep, I figure let's go over a goodie that's a classic in my annual proposition betting report. What color will the liquid that is poured on the winning head coach be? The favorite is orange.
Orange.
I want to know how they determine the favorite.
Like, do they judge, like, do they sort of, like, figure out the sales of each color? Like, how much orange Gatorade is the NFL ordering compared to how much yellow Gatorade? Is yellow a color for Gatorade?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, it is? Okay. Yep. Oh, you would know. You have the list.
So, orange is the favorite. Then it's blue, 3-1.
Okay.
Then it's clear or water, 4-1.
Okay.
Yellow, 4-1. Red, 6-1. Green, 10-1. And purple, 10-1. So green and purple are the oddballs.
Purple is a new color.
Yeah, that is a very that's a new color.
Because in the promo, I joked about what happens if it's a color that's not on the list, and we'd mentioned brown. But purple was also not on that list.
Yep.
And I'm still waiting for them to get brown Gatorade, damn it.
Now, I have one little twist here for this year.
Okay.
I actually have the history
of
Super Bowl Gatorade pouring.
You would. That is something you would have. That is like, are we ready to go? Yep. And like, the last thing that I would imagine him having is a history of Gatorade, Super Bowl Gatorade pouring.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me too. I mean, it's strange to me too.
Yep.
Of all the research and prep that we do. But no, I can't wait to hear this. And I actually have a theory about the orange that I'll get to after you're done, but go ahead.
All right, so this is the last 12 Super Bowls.
Oh my God, why? Why is there this much information on this topic? You can't find this type of information on the presidential, on the candidate debates, and you find, you know, the type of stuff people take the time to document online and in like actual facts and figures books, you know? Go ahead.
So out of the last 12 Super Bowls, the color liquid that has been poured on the winning head coach the most is
green.
Clear. Clear or water. 4 times that's happened.
Okay.
Then
only 4 out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Then 3 times orange.
Okay.
2 times separately yellow and purple. And the other time was blue.
Okay. So only one blue then.
Yeah, one blue.
So it's never been red or...
Yeah, it's never been red.
Or green?
Well, at least the last 12 Super Bowls have never been red or green.
Wow.
Yep.
So that's why red and green have the low odds. I'm surprised clear doesn't have better odds then.
Yeah, but orange comes out a fair amount as well. And so, also, when you think Gatorade, you think orange.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
When I was a kid, I would always drink the green or the yellow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to my knowledge, I can't really remember orange, but I mean, the logo is orange. That's true. I have another theory about orange. The Denver Broncos color, team color, is orange. That's not what they're wearing, but that's one of their colors. So it makes sense that they would have orange Gatorade, right?
So would
if they win,
would Carolina have the blue Gatorade?
I think, I mean, if you were an NFL team and you had, wouldn't you try and like color code it? I would. I'd be like, yeah. Well, it builds team unity and all that BS.
Well,
I don't know how the Gatorade color builds team unity.
Those are the two favorites. Orange is the favorite, and then blue is 3-1.
And I think that's the thinking.
Ah, interesting.
Is that also, blue is another Broncos team color.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I guess you're right.
Yeah. I mean, no team color is clear. What's clear? Yeah. The Raiders. What are you wearing? Nothing.
The Raiders.
The Raiders, I guess, yeah.
So there
yeah,
you go.
Orange or blue. It actually makes sense to me in a weird way.
So, there you go. I always have to give you the update on the Gatorade line.
Personally, though, I would always take clear and water. Because you think sporting events, you always think, like, they're going to have water there. You know? Because that's something you have to imagine. That's something everybody on that sideline can agree on. You know, some people might not like orange. Some people might not like lemon lime or whatever the other flavors are. But everybody will like water.
Oh, so well, that's why four times in the last 12 Super Bowls,
exactly.
Clear or water is
there
coming.
There you go. So, my bet for that one, water.
All right. Well, you can do it 4-1.
I might do it. That's all right, you know.
Do you want me to put you in contact with some bookies?
Sure. I'll put like $5 on it. Okay. $10, whatever the minimum is. I don't know.
All right. Most casinos is 100, but, you know.
Well, that's too expensive for my taste, Rich. You play your gambling music and you go drop the big dollars. I'm going to find some Joe Schmo that takes like dollar bets, all right?
Okay.
$100, my ass.
All right, so there you go. That's my annual Gatorade update. Let's get
okay.
to let's get
well,
to,
thank God we yeah. have the annual Gatorade update.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's get to some of the other proposition bets I have. You can bet on the exact outcome of the first score of the game.
Okay.
So you can bet specifically Panthers touchdown, Broncos touchdown, Panthers field goal, Broncos field goal, Panthers safety and Broncos safety. If you get the safety and the team right, it is 33-1.
Wow.
So it has to be a safety, and you have to guess the right team. But if you do,
that should be higher, I think. Because, no, right? That's incredibly rare for a mm-hmm. safety to happen at all.
Yeah.
And then the first score of the Super Bowl.
And you picked the right team.
Yeah. That did happen, though.
Yeah, it did. And the last time the Broncos were in the Super Bowl.
But I still think the odds should be, like, even more than that. You said 33-1?
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems too low to me, in all honesty. Don't you think?
This is bookies. They got to make their money. The next one I have here. How many times will dab or dabbing be said by the announcers during the broadcast?
What?
Yep.
Isn't that a type of dance or something?
Right. So I think Cam Newton does it.
I'm so not hip with the music.
One of the yeah, we're not really,
nah.
Despite our clarifications, we're not actually hip to the rap music.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
So what is dabbing?
It's a type of dance. I don't know what it is. It's some okay. sort of dance. The elbow comes up. I don't know.
The elbow comes up. Okay.
My best analysis.
I'll look for Cam Newton's elbows to go up.
Yeah. the over-under is 2 times. So, and it's a straight-up over-under. So,
oh, man. They're really good at this because 2 is a great number to pick. Because I feel like they would mention it exactly 2 times. Isn't that weird? Like, I don't know why it's just so arbitrary, but I don't feel like they would mention it too much. But I feel like they would also mention it more than once, you know?
Yeah.
So if Cam Newton scores, maybe he does a dance. Maybe they mention it like at least 2 or 3 times in that conversation, maybe.
I think it would depend on how much the Panthers score.
And how much offense scores. And how much dancing he does.
Yes. He needs to do some dancing.
And whether or not they're talking about the dancing at the time.
Yeah, and there's multiple dances.
Yeah. But also they could be talking like, so if the wide receiver scored a touchdown, maybe they're talking about the wide receiver. You know, actually, I'm going to change. I'm going to go under 2 times.
Okay.
What's your bet?
I'll go over.
Over.
I think over.
You think they're just going to sit there and talk 5 minutes?
You know what
about...
else? Sometimes he does it on first downs, too.
But will they mention it? And
I
by name,
so.
Do you think they'll call it dabbing?
I hope somebody explains to them what the dance is, other than me just trying to explain, oh, Cam Newton's doing some sort of elbow motion.
The elbow comes up.
The elbow motion comes up. I don't know. He's doing the thing there.
I'm going to let you continue.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah, that's my.
Okay, so I say under, you say over.
That's my imitation of a horrible man trying to describe the dabbing. I don't even know what you call
you
this.
You can't
dance.
Even explain the explanation.
Yeah.
It's just one of those nights.
All right, let's get to the next one.
All right, what else you got?
Along the same pages, how many times will Cam Newton do the Superman motion during the game where he fakes the opening of the chest to reveal the S logo?
Right.
The over-under is 2.5, so if he does it once or twice, it's under. If it's more than 3, it's over.
Okay.
That's why it's 2.5, Mike. It's to prevent ties.
So thank God for that. So if he does it 2 times, it's under.
Right.
I think it's going to be under because I think a lot of this game, I don't want to get too much into the analysis. I think a lot of it's going to come down to the run game though. So he might not be scoring a lot. So I say under.
Well, he runs a lot. You don't think they'll use him?
Maybe. But the question is, how many times does he score? Does he do it after first downs too?
No, it's just how many times will Cam Newton do the Superman motion during the game?
But when does he do it? When he scores?
He usually does it when in touchdown, yeah.
So who knows? He might. How many touchdowns will he be personally responsible for? That's the thing. I think 2. So
he might do it on the sidelines.
He's just standing there. Just over and over.
I bet I went to Vegas and I placed a bet. I got to do this 8 times.
Oh my God. NFL players can make a ton of money with these props.
That's what I always thought. You know?
Oh, man, if only I knew somebody that played in the NFL.
Yeah.
Oh, give them the hookup. Yeah. Well, then we'd be in the situation that tennis is in.
Yeah.
You didn't think I'd remember that, did you?
good recollection.
But,
recollection.
Yes. Thank you. But back to the bet. I'm going to go under, I think. What do you think? It's going to be a defensive game, remember.
I will. I'll go over.
Gonna go over?
Yeah, I think he'll be celebrating a
you
lot.
You think the commentators are just talking nonstop about dabbing? Cam Newton's just tearing his shirt off repeatedly on the sideline?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
They're a cocky bunch.
That's true, they are. They are. That's true.
Alright, now let's get away from the dancing and celebration.
Okay.
And let's get to current events.
Sure, why not? Of course.
So, you can bet on this. Apparently, the same weekend that Super Bowl Sunday happens is the same weekend as the New Hampshire GOP primary.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Okay.
And you can bet on which of the following will be higher. A, Trump's percentage points in the New Hampshire primary, or B, the total points scored by the winning Super Bowl team.
Oh. That's a tough one.
Yep.
I'm, like, checking the results from the Iowa one to see if I can get some pointers. This is a tough one. I think the points will be higher.
All right. Well, Vegas is favoring Trump, apparently.
Really? Trump?
So if
New Hampshire?
So if you bet on the total points scored by the winning Super Bowl team,
just by the winning Super Bowl team?
Yeah, only by the winning Super Bowl team.
Oh, no, scratch that. Yeah, Trump's going to take this. I thought for some reason you said total.
No, only by the winning Super Bowl team.
Oh, okay.
It's 150 to 100. So you have to bet 100 and you win 150 back.
Yeah. No, I think Trump. Yeah, I thought you said total points by both teams.
Nope, winning Super Bowl team.
Okay. Yeah, cuz it should be a low-scoring game, I think.
All right, and here's the next prop bet here. This one's very practical. We need to know as a society. How many wings will Buffalo Wild Wings sell on Super Bowl day?
Oh, my God.
We need to know this as a society.
Okay. What are the options here?
The Vegas over-under is 12 million wings.
Over.
Over.
This is America we're talking
about.
Do not underestimate our ability to consume buffalo wings.
Yeah, all right. Me and Mike are going to put away a million.
A million each, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be dead afterwards, but damn it, we'll do it.
But it's worth it.
It's worth it. I say, oh, I'm confident in America that we can get over
it. Yeah. We believe in you, America.
We believe.
Over 12 million.
What do you think? Over on
that? Yeah, I think over.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. one of my favorite things to talk about is golf.
Why?
And
why does golf come into this?
And Vegas has put together this clever prop bet.
Okay.
You can bet which is going to be higher. A, Demaryius Thomas's total receiving yards, or B, Jordan Spieth's first round score at the Masters this year.
Well, one, I don't know what's par on the course.
For the Masters, it's either 69 or 70.
Oh, Demaryius Thomas will have more receiving yards than that.
You think so? That means he's got to break out. He's got to have like a you know, pretty good game.
I think he could get to like 80, 90 yards.
Okay.
That's not. And you're matched up against Josh Norman, though.
And you're also talking about Peyton Manning's throwing to him. He's not exactly throwing 30-yard bombs. He'd have to pull in like 8 recoveries for 80 yards.
Oh, never mind. Jordan Spieth. I see. It's tough. It's tough because I feel like obviously these are chosen very carefully, because if these were easy, then it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, it's like right at that perfect threshold where it's like he could get more, but it's going to be tough, you know?
Yep.
So I think maybe he won't. No, I think the golf score will be higher, right?
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
And that's not a diss on Jordan Spieth. I don't think Demaryius Thomas is going to get that high of a total receiving yard count.
Not against Josh Norman.
Right.
Not with Peyton Manning throwing to him.
Right. It's really more a dig at Demaryius Thomas than it is Jordan Spieth.
I think it's more a dig at Peyton Manning, if you ask me. More than anybody.
Yeah. All right. Now it is time to get to a very important part of the day that is Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
We have food. We have football.
Why are you doing Donald Trump?
I don't know.
You were like trending towards Donald Trump right there.
It must have been because I was thinking of him in one of the prop bets.
It's going to be a huge bet.
Going to be a huge Super Bowl party. But we have football. We have the food.
Yes,
now
yes.
Now it's time for entertainment.
Ah, yes.
We have to do the halftime show.
Of course.
So, the first bet that you can actually bet on, what song will Coldplay play in the first song at their halftime show? Whoever wrote this question was really
What was that?
Strong.
Yeah.
Basically, the first song Coldplay plays.
Aren't they working on a new one?
Yeah.
Isn't that the reason why they're there?
Their new single is Adventure of a Lifetime. That's the favorite.
Okay.
But their other options that you can bet on are Fix You, which is 3-1.
Okay.
A Sky Full of Stars, 4-1.
Not familiar with that one, actually.
Viva La Vida, 5-1.
Mm.
Clock, 7-1. Head Full of Dreams, 10-1. And Paradise, 10-1.
I like Clocks.
I love Clocks. But
that's
more of an ending song. It's not
an opener. No.
Viva La Vida is a good opener. I think they do Viva La Vida. I'd be willing to take that.
Yeah, I don't see Clocks or Paradise.
I don't see Fix You.
No.
That's too slow to start off.
Yeah, so like three of those, they could surprise us. I think it's going to be the favorite. I think they're going to do their new one. Yeah. I think they're also doing a collaboration with, I might be totally off, but Beyonce Knowles.
Yes, Beyonce. Yep.
Yeah. So whatever that song is could also be. Is that on there? That's not on there, is it? I don't know what the song is that they're working on, but that would be my other bet.
Mm-hmm. I'd go with Viva La Vida. I like that.
Yeah.
One.
Okay.
Yeah. And speaking of Beyonce, there is a Beyonce question.
Okay, of course.
Yep. So all you Beyonce fans, get ready.
Yes, she will make the She-Hulk face again.
There's that. There's also, what color will Beyonce's footwear be when she comes on stage for the halftime show?
Footwear?
Yep. Specifically the footwear.
Red. No, black.
It's, you can bet on black. That's the favorite.
Okay.
Brown or gold. That's 2-1.
Okay.
White, 3-1. Silver or gray, 5-1. That's interesting. How are they going to differentiate between white and silver?
Yeah, it'll be tough, but I think there's a difference. Yeah.
And then any other color not mentioned before, 7-1.
I think it's going to be something classic. So it's probably going to be like Black or...
You're right. What prevents people from not rigging this?
Yeah, like she could come out in like teal.
Like call her friends. Be like, hey, I'm going to wear red shoes. Bet all your money on any other color.
Yeah. I mean, do famous people know about these prop bets? Like, should I tweet at Beyonce and be like, hey...
Hey, let me know. Yeah.
Can you wear purple shoes?
Yeah,
please.
Just let me know what shoes you're going to wear for the halftime show. I need money.
Well, with Twitter, you can contact celebrities.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone, contact Beyonce.
Here's a question. What happens if she tweets out like a teaser of her outfit and it shows the shoes?
Oh, and Vegas would be on that. They'd have to say null and void or something like that.
Oh, that's bull. You can't do that.
Yep.
Screw you, Vegas.
They would be on that.
What do you think you are? The kings of gambling or something? Get it?
I think you should tweet at Beyonce and be like,
wear purple shoes.
Yeah, give me the inside scoop. Yeah.
What happens if she doesn't wear shoes? What happens if it's like some artistic piece and she like comes down from the ceiling
with no shoes,
in a harness with no shoes?
I guess you get your money back.
What about flippers?
You know what's funny? I was actually thinking about stuff like this because
of course you were.
Yeah, because actually, in one of the bets, you can bet on if a extra point is going to be missed.
Oh, that's a good one.
But because this game is going to be so defensive-minded, there's actually a clause where if no team scores a touchdown, you get your money refunded.
Well, I wouldn't mind that. As long as you either make your money back or you gain positive money.
But it goes back to some rule that it's because, like, the event that you're placing the bet on never actually had a chance to happen.
Right.
So I think that would fall in the same category with this if Beyonce came out with no shoes on.
I mean, if they really wanted to be awesome, they could have odds for those weird extreme events too.
Yeah.
You know, what's stopping them from saying she comes out with no shoes or she comes out with, you know, flippers and just make it completely absurd odds, you know, something crazy. I don't know. It'd be interesting. But what happens if she does come out with footwear, but it's not a shoe? Like a slipper or a boot or a flipper.
Well, it says footwear. So I guess slippers would count.
Okay.
I guess the only thing that wouldn't count would be like if it was like part of a costume. Or like a bear costume.
A bear costume? Why bear specifically?
Beyonce the bear.
Beyonce the bear. Is that like a new sitcom?
I don't know.
It's Beyonce. Beyonce the bear.
Rawr. Married the Jay-Z and sings hip-hop songs. It's Beyonce the Bear.
Beyonce the Bear.
There you go.
Coming to claw your eyes out.
I think we're both still crazy from the blizzard.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm, like, feeling it. Like, I'm, like, holding on by a thread, you know? I love that bet, though. The footwear bet, that's amazing. Well, there was one similar to this where they asked about Katy Perry's outfit.
Yeah, that was
remember
last
that?
Year.
And it was
yeah.
Like, what is she going to – is she going to wear pants or a skirt or like something else? I don't remember what the other options were. But, yeah, it's very similar.
All right, ready for the last bit of prop bets I have?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, well, this game's going to be held in San Francisco, right?
Yes.
So will there be an earthquake that happens during the game?
No. Well, I know I find it highly, highly improbable.
Well, if you feel adventurous, you can bet that there will be, and it's 10-1 if it happens.
Okay.
10-1. I think that's pretty good odds. 10-1.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't see an earthquake happening. When was the last earthquake in that area?
Last Wednesday. I don't know.
Last Wednesday? You just pulled a random day out of your pocket.
Sure. I don't know.
I mean, there's probably
it's people... right on the fault. Yeah. I think earthquakes happen like all the time in there.
I think that, you know, there's probably people
I don't know.
That
I feel like now I'm really sound like an East Coast biased guy. out there on the West Coast and there are earthquakes and In and Out Burgers.
It's the West Coast. They're like always having earthquakes every other day. I don't know why. Why am I talking like a West Coast surfer from pretending to be from the East Coast? I'm a little confused. But no, I was saying, like, there's probably people that are doing geological surveys and, like, tracking the data and trying to figure this out right now, you know?
Yep. All right, and the last two that I have for you have to deal with backup quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
The first one, will either backup quarterback take a snap in the game? If you bet yes, it's 2-1.
Okay.
So, obviously, there's a chance that that could happen, 2-1.
Well, with Brock Osweiler, or whatever his name is,
yeah,
he, I think, has a good possibility. If something, Peyton Manning is like one bad hit away from dying on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Brock, there's a pretty good chance that Brock Osweiler could throw at least one pass. I would take that. Would you?
Yeah, I would bet something for that.
Yeah.
2-1, yeah.
You wouldn't win a lot, but yeah.
All right, and the last thing I have for you. Will the announcers mention that Gary Kubiak was Elway's backup during the broadcast?
What? Was he?
Yep, he was during Elway's Super Bowl run, yep.
Sure, why not? They always dig up those weird random facts and statistics, yeah.
Yep.
Definitely, I think so.
So, there you go, folks. That's my annual report on the weird proposition bets that you can make for this year's Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50. I hope that gives you an advantage when you head to Vegas and you place those bets.
I'll tell you what, if this music is playing, I think it would be a definite advantage.
Yes.
I don't think you could place a bad bet listening to this music.
No. So, make sure you have your pod, you have the Crispy Noodle Podcast ready. You go to Vegas, you make your bets, and
you're just like strutting everywhere.
Yep, and you enjoy
throwing down bills left and right.
Yeah, make it rain.
Pow, yeah.
Make it rain. Do the dab.
Give me that purple Gatorade.
Do the dabbing with the elbow.
With the elbow. Gotta get the elbow. Yep. Nobody can see me. I'm dancing. I don't know what the dab is, but I tried to do it, I guess.
Well, there you go, folks. That's my annual report on the proposition bets that you can do for this year's Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. All right, and with that...
I like that. Thank you very much. That was good.
No problem.
I always enjoy prop bets. Even before we did the podcast, this is something you always did. People might not know that. But I always
thought it was fun.
Yeah, we always talked prop bets. Time for the Super Bowl.
I just really can't believe the stuff you can actually bet on.
It's like the most insane stuff ever. Yep. Like half that stuff is like, who comes up with that? Like there's a room of people sitting around going, hey, let's do this. And they'll like research it in order to come up with those figures, you know?
Yep. All right. But now let's get into more serious discussion. It's time to actually talk about the Super Bowl. What do we think is actually going to happen? It's time for Super Bowl analysis. Super Bowl 50. It's officially on. Mike, what do you see heading into this? I mean, this is it. The 2015-2016 season comes to an end. The Denver Broncos take on the Carolina Panthers. This is it. The last call for the season. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, this is a tough one. Both of these teams are number one seeds.
And you know it's serious because I play the dramatic music. I only bring this out for Super Bowl.
This is very dramatic. I figure maybe we'll take a different approach this time and we'll break down each team before we give our picks. How does that sound, Rich?
Sure.
So let's look at the Carolina Panthers. Coming into this season, we knew what they were about. They had a good defense, but we didn't know about their offense. They came out this year and Cam Newton has been playing unbelievable football.
MVP year.
MVP year, definitely. I'm just looking at his stats right now. And it's just simply amazing. And, you know, and I never really considered him a top tier quarterback. But when you go out there and you throw 35 touchdowns to only 10 interceptions, you know, for 3,800 yards, this guy is the real deal. You know, he reminds me very much of Donovan McNabb in his prime. And, you know, they have that strong running game. They have that really top-notch defense. And when I say top-notch defense, I mean literally one of the top in the league. You know, those corners, Josh Norman specifically, is just this year's Darrell Revis. You know, completely shut down. One of the best corners of the season. The other thing that I see in the Carolina Panthers is... And I had used this as a knock against them, maybe because I was a little biased. But they're cocky, they're young, and they are very hungry for a win. And they remind me very much of the Super Bowl winning Seattle Seahawks. And that is a very dangerous thing for the Denver Broncos. So let's flip over. Denver Broncos. What do you see with the Denver Broncos, Rich?
Their defense is just insane when it comes to pass rush. I mean, they took out Tom Brady.
Yeah.
They said, we are going to put pressure on Tom Brady like nobody has done so far this season. They did it to a T, and they knocked the Patriots out of the AFC Championship game, which was hugely surprising. I didn't think they were going to make it this far.
That was a big shock. I mean, I don't think anybody had picked the Broncos.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to that defense. If there's one defense that's better than Carolina, it might be the Broncos.
Yep. Really, the only liability is Peyton Manning. Does he still have it in him to go out there on the field and win one more game? Arguably, I think it's safe to say this is going to be his last game. I don't know if he's got it, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It really limits the playbook when your quarterback can't really throw a deep ball with that much zip, you know?
He does limit them.
He can't throw any further than 15 yards without the ball losing some speed on it. And that's going to be a big problem. Denver can't afford to fall behind in this game. They fall behind in this, it's done. Peyton Manning's not going to lead a comeback in this one. Broncos have to score first, and they have to keep the lead.
They have to keep that pressure on. The one thing that I look at the Broncos and I think might be a benefit for them is the fact that that defense bailed them out so many times this year. I mean, you know, we're talking about Peyton Manning, like, he can barely play anymore. And we're not exaggerating. You know, this season he only threw 9 touchdown passes to 17 interceptions.
Yeah.
For a quarterback rating of 68. You know, that is not Peyton Manning. But they won, what was it, 12 games?
Yep.
Solely because of that defense.
Right.
They are that dominant. I mean, first in total yards allowed, first in passing yards allowed, third in rushing yards allowed, fourth overall in total points allowed. They are the definition of a shutdown defense, more so than Seattle and the Panthers and the Cardinals. They were the top. That run game is also fantastic. You know, you have two great running backs, both getting over 700 yards. So I guess the question is, you have these two stellar defenses. You know, which offense do you trust more? You know, do you trust the young, unproven guys, or do you trust the veterans? And I know the veterans look a little beat up, but they've shown throughout the year that they can do enough to get by. The Panthers have shown they really haven't ever been in that position where they needed to worry about that. So I guess, in a weird way, the Broncos, you know, it's not all doom and gloom for them. I'm just trying to give a fair and balanced perspective.
All right, well, since we're eager to get into opinion, should we launch into the picks?
Let's do it. Let's make our final picks now that all the analysis is over and done with.
All right, here it is, folks. The pressure is on. The last pick of the 2015-2016 NFL season. Mike, who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Like I said, they remind me very much of the Super Bowl winning Seattle Seahawks. And I hate to admit it because my friend from college is a huge Panthers fan, but they're like a 6-point favorite.
Yeah, the original opening line in Vegas was 5.5.
Which is huge for the Super Bowl,
One of the biggest, yeah.
The Panthers are dominant on nearly every facet of the game. I think as long as they can manage it and not let their nerves get to them, this should be a win for the Panthers. Not only that, but...
shoulda, woulda, coulda. What is your pick?
Madden predicted it. Vegas is predicting it. I'm predicting it. It's going to be the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50.
All right. Do you have a score?
It's going to be a low-scoring game, I think. I think maybe it's going to be... it should be a close one, too. I'm thinking, like, 20 to like, 16, something like that.
Okay.
Panthers. What do you think?
All right. I think that the Broncos are probably... the only way this is going to be competitive is if the Broncos score first and they keep the pressure on.
But can they?
My biggest concern is Panthers get the ball, they run it down the field, and they just they just knock Denver out before there's even a shot.
You do not want Denver playing from behind.
Right. If Denver plays from behind, it's over. That's it. Turn the TV off. You might as well go watch the Puppy Bowl or whatever. I'll tell you what, though. I think the Broncos get the first score. I think Cam Newton's going to need two drives to get used to the Super Bowl pressure. It's going to affect him some way.
It will.
I think he needs two to three drives to get his nerves calmed down. But I think once he does, he leads the Panthers. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than people would like it to be. I think I'm going to go with 27-24 Carolina wins.
That's a close one. It's also fairly high scoring.
Yeah, I also think the defenses are going to be a little nervous too.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to have some itchy safeties that aren't going to stick to their routes, and you're going to see some bombs happen.
Okay,
I'm also predicting more of an offensive game.
Okay, which sometimes happens with two defensive teams.
Yeah,
you think that it would be all defense, and it ends up being the other way around.
Right,
like the Seahawks scoring like 45 points that one Super Bowl.
Right. So
you're going Panthers as well?
I'm going Panthers, yeah.
So I guess the unanimous Crispy Noodle podcast decision, our final answer for the final game of the season, the final countdown.
Anything more final we can throw in there?
The final is the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50.
All right, there we go, folks. You have it right there, the Crispy Noodle pick for the Super Bowl, Panthers winning it, and look, we're also in agreement. It looks like to be about a possession.
Yeah,
I would err more on the mid-20s. Mike goes more 2016.
Yeah,
around there. There you go, Super Bowl pick in the books. Oh,
that was I liked that final pick.
Yeah,
that was fun.
I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we did a good job with our complete Super Bowl coverage.
Going from
the proposition bets, which is our new yearly tradition.
Let's be honest, like 80% of that was just prop bets.
Yeah.
The actual Super Bowl talk was like, you know, a little tiny sliver. But hey, you know what? I don't care. I had a blast. You guys probably had, hopefully you guys had a blast too.
Yep. There you go. Make sure you are in a fun place to watch the Super Bowl. I love watching it every year. It's great.
Oh, of course. Biggest TV event the entire year.
Yep. Real quick.
Yeah.
This year, for a 30-second ad.
Yeah.
$5 million.
Whew. Hot damn.
Yeah. So
let's take one out for the Crispy Noodle.
Yeah. I need to borrow $4.9 million.
You have $100,000 already?
Shh.
Wow.
That was my trip to Vegas.
Okay. Well, you still got some of those prop bets and you happen to win, right?
That's if I win the prop bet.
Okay.
So there you go. That's where we stand in the sports sampler. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, we have the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A Wyoming high school student who was able to build a nuclear reactor was...
Wait. What? Is that literally the first line of the story?
Yep. A Wyoming high school senior who built a nuclear reactor was disqualified from the International Science and Engineering Fair this month on a technicality. It seems that the senior had competed in too many science fairs.
What? How's that fair? It's like, oh, he's so smart. He's competed in so many. He literally built a nuclear reactor, something that rocket scientists have a hard time with, and he gets disqualified?
Yeah, sadly. He still is planning to graduate from high school this month and wants to go to the South Dakota School of Mines. I don't know if it's actually Mines.
Yeah, wait, the School of Mines.
Yeah, okay. M-I-N-E-S. I don't know if that's like a place or if it actually means landmines or something.
Landmines?
Welcome to campus. Good luck.
If you can make it to class, you've already passed.
Jeez.
What is that? That's the incoming freshman class.
There you go, the South Dakota School of Mines.
That's not even what the story was about.
No, but sometimes it's little things.
Yeah, anyway.
Like a landmine!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
All Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We had a lot to talk about in the sports sampler. Obviously, Super Bowl Sunday is coming up, so a big chunk of the show was devoted to that. But now it is time to switch gears. Enough of the football talk, enough of the sports talk. We are finally launching into our next segment. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's time for the fun.
You're right there.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm here, Rich. I'm here. I got it.
It's funny. I feel like there are things that we're trying to get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, it's just like there's little cues. Like 1 week, that's it. Boom. It's all gone.
The show has been
3 years. Screw it. Flush.
All down the toilet.
All down the drain. I kid. And I kid because I try to be entertaining. Which brings us to our next segment. The always entertaining entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. And we're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Yeah, there you go, folks. An oldie but a goodie right there.
Yeah, what was that?
That was the classic Howard Dean scream from 04.
Okay.
He was running for president for the Democratic nomination, and they had the Iowa caucus.
And he
12 years
like
ago. And yep, he had passion, and he had to.
Apparently.
And he had to tell everybody where he was going. We're going to California. We're going to the Bit Deli down the street. We're going to the laundromat down the street.
And then I'm going to take a nice nap. And then we're going to Washington, D.C.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
I just love this scream, too. It's so primal.
It's a very strange scream.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
It's like one of those screams where you stop caring about what you sound like and you just like let one rip, you know?
Yeah.
Because that was a scream where he was just like spur of the moment, you know, off the cuff, just, you know, lets it out. Because you figure most people, like if they like plan to do something like that, they're like, yeah, or woo, you know, like Ric Flair. But he's like this weird combination. It's a combination of yeah and woo, you know, with a little bit of a growl in there. It's a very strange scream.
Yeah, it's not quite Ric Flair. It's not a woo.
No.
Nobody says woo around here except me. Woo! 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 Woo!
Alright, so there you go. The battle of Howard Dean versus Ric Flair here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Why not?
Ric Flair, more of a woo, and Howard Dean, more of a our expert analysis.
What? That is like the best political analysis I've heard in the past several months.
So there you go. And the reason why I played it is that it is the 12th anniversary of the Howard Dean scream. So yeah.
Such an amazing anniversary to remember.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you're.
Who keeps, again, the theme, who keeps track of these things?
Rich, who's
sitting there checking off the days? It's been 12 years since that one guy screamed in 2004.
And yep, and I have it ready to go for you.
We're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
So there you go. It is 12 years old. Happy birthday, Howard Dean Scream.
All right, then. All 12 right. years old. He's a preteen now.
Yeah, right? Yeah. The Scream is a preteenager.
Oh,
right,
man.
Now.
Just wait until the Scream about hits his teenage years.
About to go into high school.
Yeah.
All right. But there you go. Enough of my craziness. Let's go into Mike's segment. He actually does work. I'm actually doing stupid work. I do this.
You can barely classify what I do as work, though.
Mike is actually going to give you information that's important. I'm just in charge of the stupid stuff.
I can't be calm. No. I'm the master of the mechanical stuff, and I have to help you. You, the master of the stupid stuff.
Yep.
Does that make me the master of the mechanical stuff?
Yeah, you're the mechanical
stuff. I don't know if I trust myself with the mechanical stuff.
But nevertheless, Mike actually has important information. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
By God, what the hell's going on tonight?
All right, Mike, what's going on? What do we have to keep an eye out and an ear out for in movies, TV, and video games?
Well, I'll tell you what you have to keep an eye out for. First up, in the world of film, we have a movie about movies. Hail Caesar is the latest Coen Brothers comedy. This has got a huge cast. I mean, this is, like, very rarely do you see these movies where all these big names come together like this. You got Scarlett Johansson, which is just, oh, she's amazing. Acting-wise, of course. You have Channing Tatum, Josh Brolin, Ralph Fiennes, George Clooney, Tilda Swinton, Jonah Hill, Dolph Lundgren, Alison Pill, and there's more that I'm sure I'm forgetting, but a huge star-studded cast. But the movie itself also seems really interesting. The synopsis reads, in the early 1950s, Eddie Mannix is busy at work trying to solve all the problems of the actors and filmmakers at Capitol Pictures. His latest assignments involve a disgruntled director, a singing cowboy, a beautiful swimmer, and a handsome dancer. As if it wasn't all enough, Mannix faces his biggest challenge when Baird Whitlock gets kidnapped while in costume for the Swords and Sandals epic Hail Caesar. If the studio doesn't pay $100,000, it's the end of the line for the movie star. If you watch the trailers, it seems very slick, very quirky and fun. You know, it's got that classic Coen Brothers vibe to it. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So go check out Hail Caesar, the new comedy coming out from the Coen Brothers, opening this week in theaters. If you're looking for something a little more serious, though, turn to the TV, where we have American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson, Tuesdays on FX. FX has been making a name for itself with a lot of really good programming, dramas specifically recently. And this is, you know, another great one, or at least it's looking to shape up to be another great one. It's a new true crime anthology series, so each season will follow another true crime story. This one is
wait until you hear next season.
Good lord. This season is focusing on the O.J. Simpson trial. Cuba Gooding Jr. is O.J. Simpson. They're also starring John Travolta and Nathan Lane. So if you know the O.J. Simpson stuff, you know sort of what this is about, but it's, you know, giving the ins and outs of it and giving a more dramatic spin on it. So it should be very, very interesting. Go check this one out on FX. And finally, in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. Xbox Live Gold subscribers get a really cool one this month called Hand of Fate. It combines classic tabletop RPG with hack and slash third-person action gameplay. So you play a randomized card-based tabletop game, and then as you come across the encounters in the tabletop game, you actually play out those encounters in third-person action hack and slash type combat. I've played a little bit of it on PlayStation 4. It's a really interesting game, really great mechanics. So definitely go check that out if you have Xbox One. But also recently, last week, since we missed last week,
The Witness, released exclusively on PlayStation 4 and PC. It's the second game from Jonathan Blow, the renowned developer that put out Braid in the last generation. It is The Witness is a first-person, open-world, philosophical puzzler in which there's, I think, over 700 puzzles. Some of them are very short, some of them are very complex, but the way in which they build on each other is very creative, where they teach you the different rules of the puzzle, and there's no hand-holding, there's no tutorial, you're just expected to figure it out yourself, and use the environment for clues in how to solve these puzzles. Everything is very tightly woven. It's a fantastic experience, really. It's not so much a game as it is an experience. I've been playing it. It's very good. Metacritic score of 87. IGN called it a masterpiece and gave it a 10 out of 10. So if you're into the sort of more cerebral puzzler exploration type games, go check out The Witness on PlayStation 4 or PC. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for your segment there this week in entertainment.
Don't react too strongly, Rich.
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you gonna slap a copyright infringement on me?
I might slap a copyright infringement on you.
Oh, God.
So what are we talking about, Rich?
So, you know, if you're not into the YouTube scene, there is a famous channel called the Fine Brothers. And they have many popular series. The most famous is their React series. I mean, it's so famous, we derive a couple of clips from them.
Yes, we do.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, so we have a couple of clips from that series.
It's from the popular Elders React.
Yep. Well, the Fine Brothers have really made a big mess. Big controversial move.
Yeah, to say the least.
In essence,
where do you begin to pull this one apart, Rich?
The quick 30-second version is the React Brothers, or the Fine Brothers, have attempted to trademark the word React and the idea of a React show. Now, it sounds harmless. It seems like, oh yeah, well, if they do a React show, they should have the right to own that show, right?
Yes, well, but...
Yes, but they're trying to copyright all of reaction videos.
Yeah, so maybe you guys haven't heard about this thing called YouTube. There's this very popular genre where people watch a video and record themselves reacting. See, I can't even think of a different word to say other than reacting. They spontaneously provide their opinionated analysis.
Boy, that's gonna be a long YouTube
video
title.
I think it's very catchy though. I think, you know, it just jazzed it up a little bit. But no, that's the problem, is that they're copywriting the quote unquote the format. That's very troubling wording to me.
Yes.
Because what is the format of a React video, right? So if I say this segment is podcast hosts react, are we going to get in trouble if we put this on YouTube?
Yeah. If we make a video where we're walking down the street and a guy falls on a banana peel and we start laughing and we react to it, are we in violation of the Fine Brothers React trademark on YouTube?
It's a very slippery slope. You know, this is like, so recently, we didn't talk about this one, but Sony tried to trademark Let's Play. So that's another very popular YouTube genre where gamers will play a video game and you watch them play, and they're called Let's Play. The problem with these types of trademarks is that they're so generic.
Yeah.
You know, like React, you're basically saying we trademark the concept of people
reacting. Yeah.
Of people reacting.
If we go to the movie theater, one of my favorite YouTube channels is Red Letter Media.
Right.
If we go to the movies, we watch a movie and then we make a video review of what we thought of the movie. Is that a React video? It is. We're technically reacting to the movie.
Yeah, where is the line?
See, that's really the problem with this whole trademark fiasco with the Fine Brothers. There's no jurisdiction as to where the line ends.
Right. It's a very blurry line, you know. I think
they're claiming it would pertain more towards, you know, people watching a video or trying something on camera and them reacting to it as they're trying it. You know, you think of like the kids react where they eat the food or they're playing a game or, you know, working with, you know, old technology. I love those videos. And this is the thing that disappoints me. Is I really liked their content.
Yeah, I did too.
I had a blast watching, you know, the teens play through The Last of Us and the kids trying weird foods. But I don't want to support a channel that will go after other people trying to make these types of videos, you know?
Yeah.
If we put out a video where we're reacting to the latest meme, you know, or the latest dance craze, and we're watching a video and we give our reactions, they could rightfully, if this trademark goes through, take it down on a copyright claim.
And not
for infringing on their format.
And not only that, they would have the legal right to take down your entire channel.
Yeah, they could take down entire channels. This is just, it's really, really upsetting because I really did like them as content creators.
Well, you're not the only one, Mike, because they are losing subscribers left and right. At last count, they were down 200,000 net subscribers.
That's a pretty hefty chunk of subscribers.
Yeah. It's definitely facing some big backlash in the internet community. And also when you have backlash, you also have parodies.
Of course.
And I have to play this. This is one of my favorites.
Let's just hope nobody trademarks the word parody.
Yeah, right. That's the next thing. This is from one of my favorite YouTube channels, CGP Gray. He illustrates complex things in a easy to understand stick figure animation.
Yeah.
So this is his attempt to, this is fake. Don't worry. This is his attempt to copyright stick figures in the same spirit as the Fine Brothers.
Okay.
Trying to copyright react. Take a listen to this hilarious sketch.
If you want to use stick figures in your videos, I have an exciting program to help you do that. You can pay me some money to license stick figures from me. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, so the way this works is like I own the idea of stick figures now, even though I'm not the first person to ever come up with a stick figure. I draw stick figures because I don't have a lot of artistic talent, and I figured other people without a lot of artistic talent can also draw stick figures, and like I want to get in on that now. So like I own stick figures. So, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm going to help you make YouTube videos where you're just going to pay me money if you use stick figures, okay? Like, that's the way this is going to work. And it's super exciting because you get to be part of a community by paying me. That's what, like, we're all in this community together, but it's like it's flowing in one direction to me and my company. So it's awesome. I'll give you some resources on like how to draw stick figures, you know, once you start paying me this money. Like I'll have a little booklet that shows you like circles go on top and then you draw like a line below it. Like, you know, so I'll give you some guidance so you don't feel like you're getting just totally ripped off. But yeah, stick figures, they're mine now, and pay me.
So there
you
go.
That was brilliant. That's another channel that I really like. And I just found out he has like four or five other channels that I'm subscribed to. And I had no idea they were by the same person. Random side note. But you know what? So that video was in reaction to That video was a response to...
Yeah, good one.
No, let's try. Let's try and avoid saying the word react or the variations of it.
Okay.
And let's see to prove a point. So that video was in response to the video that the Fine Brothers put out titled React World, in which they made this announcement.
Right.
And in this crazy rambling announcement video, and it seemed harmless until you really, you know, pick apart what they're saying, but they're talking about how you can license their format. And that is what raises the alarm bells. You're like, wait, license? That means that they own a trademark or something. What are they trademarked?
React.
Yep. Yeah. So this whole React World thing is they played it off as like they wanted to go global and make a community, exactly what was his name? CGP
Gray.
CGP. what he was saying is they wanted to go global and make a quote-unquote community where people could license their format and they could put out React-branded videos, which is insane because do you really need their blessing and their support yeah. to set up a camera to record yourself watching a video?
This is almost like...
It's asinine. It's literally asinine.
Since you mentioned blessing, this kind of is like if the Pope declared all Catholic videos must go through the church, and like if you made a how-to video on how to be Catholic, it must go through the church. You know, yeah, the Pope has to actually like
you can license the Catholic faith. Jesus is a trademarked character of Catholicism.
Really, it's kind of like that, isn't it?
In a way, yeah. I mean, you can go on and on with the different analogies. The point is, the bottom line is that this is sheer lunacy and utter ridiculousness. And it's really sad because, you know, when you think of YouTube...
You're supposed to think freedom. You're supposed to think creativeness.
Creativity.
Yeah.
And, you know, React videos are a huge staple of YouTube. You know, there's like a handful of types of genres that YouTube is really good at. And one of them are React videos. A lot of people have React videos, not just the Fine Brothers. They weren't the first. They're not going to be the last. And they're certainly not the only name in React videos. So it's sad that they're trying to, you know, stake out their claim in this territory that's so generic, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to be feeling the hurt this week as multiple subscribers have been unsubscribing from their posts. They've been getting a lot of negative feedback, and hopefully it's enough to stop this ridiculous assertion that they're going to try and trademark React. And
so, you know, I just want to point out, so there's this lawyer that's going to be challenging them pro bono because there's this quote-unquote public opposition phase. So they've already approved the trademark. Now it goes into public opposition where people can fight it, and this lawyer is confident that they can beat it. But in this lawyer's post, the law offices of Ryan P. Morrison, he talks about some of the other things that the Fine Brothers have already copyrighted and trademarked that we are not even aware of. They already own Elders React and Teens React. You're not allowed to make videos with those titles, apparently. But they're also applying, in addition to just React generally, they're also applying for Celebrities React, Adults React, Parents React, Do They Know It, Kids versus Food, Lyric Breakdown, People versus Technology, and Try Not to Laugh or Smile. And these are not creative titles. Like, Lyric Breakdown...
Is that any karaoke?
I guess it's people, like, analyzing lyrics... But it's not like – it's not a specific title, you know? It's not – it's just Lyric Breakdown. You know, it's like if I were to try and trademark Lyric Analysis, you know?
What happens if you try and trademark pizza? Do I get the – do I get like
– As long as you pay me in pizza.
Yeah, do we get like 10 cents of every pizza that's sold?
I would rather have it in pizza kickbacks personally, but that's just me.
Give us free pizza.
I think that's the big takeaway is give us free pizza and you'll know.
Stop the Fine Brothers.
Yes, those two things.
There you go. I think that's the lesson here to take with this crazy scandal that has erupted on YouTube. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
It's just insane.
Oh, it just pisses me off.
Whoa. Watch those reactions, Rich, or responses.
Yeah.
Opinionated emotional responses to hypothetical scenarios.
I like it. There you go. That's our new word for React. Yes. Write that down.
I'm going to write it down. I don't remember it, but I'll jot it down.
Well, while you're writing that down, we have to take a break. But don't go anywhere because we will have unique responses to the odd news. And I have a whole bunch of new odd news to report on. So don't go anywhere. The non-Portugookie odd news is next. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Father Sean Thompson was stopped and charged with a DUI as well as a number of misdemeanor drugs and weapons offenses after a trooper observed his pickup truck doing 79 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. Trooper Christopher Bitts observed the 52-year-old's truck was weaving and speeding when Bitts approached the vehicle and asked Thompson for his registration. The priest just handed over a receipt from the bar instead.
That's how you know you're drunk.
Thompson did not tell the officer that he also had a 9mm pistol in his back pocket. He also failed to inform Bitts that he also had a small quantity of marijuana he had stashed in his shirt.
Guns and drugs and booze?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. Guns, drugs, and booze.
Yeah.
In the name of the gun and of the beer and of the illegal drugs. Our Father, who art with guns, drunken be thy name.
Thy kingdom come when thou is high, on earth as it is in the clouds.
Amen. Amen. I would like to go to one of his sermons. He gets to the part with the wine and he just keeps on asking the altar boy for a refill. Like, more! Come here, boy!
We need it for God, alright?
It's for God! I said it's for God, give me another one. And the little, like, 9-year-old's like, sir, I'm gonna have to cut you off.
That's when you know you're an alcoholic.
When the altar boy cuts you off of sacramental wine.
Yeah. Padre, sit down. Sit down the next couple rounds, okay?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. You know, it's amazing. You know, we take breaks throughout the show. You know, it's like 15, 20 minutes. You know, we get more water. We check our phones in case something happens. And
which brings us to this point.
Yeah, just like that, something has indeed happened that completely alters what we said in the entertainment entree. Mike, do you want to lead this amazing update?
Yeah, we have really an unprecedented update. We've never had anything like this. Where
literally, the timing of this is just weird.
It's just insanely just the coincidence is ridiculous. So we reported that the Fine Brothers were trying to trademark common words like React and Kids React and the entire format of reaction videos. Over the break, I check my newsfeed, and of course, something pops up that the Fine Brothers are apologizing and actually taking steps to correct what they are now viewing as a misstep. So I have the statement, the official statement from the Fine Brothers. It reads, "Hello, we're here to apologize. We realize we built a system that could easily be used for wrong. We are fixing that. The reality that trademarks like these could be used to theoretically give companies, including ours, the power to police and control online video is a valid concern. And though we can assert our intentions are pure, there's no way to prove them. We have decided to do the following. One, rescind all of our React trademarks and applications. This includes React, Kids React, Elders React, Lyric Breakdown, etc. Two, discontinue the React World program. And three, release all past Content ID claims. Content ID is YouTube's copyright system that automatically flags content that looks like or sounds like copyrighted content. This mostly flags videos that are direct re-uploads of our videos, which is what the system is built for. But if you know of a video that has been claimed or removed incorrectly, please email us with fake claim in the subject line. The concerns people have about React World are understandable, and that people see a link between that and our past video takedowns, but those were mistakes from an earlier time. It makes perfect sense for people to distrust our motives here, but we are confident that our actions will speak louder than these words moving forward. This has been a hard week. Our plan is to keep making great content with the help of our amazing staff. Thank you for your time and for hearing us out. Sincerely, Benny and Raffy Fine."
Wow. So, yeah, there you go. That's that. Yeah, and it all happened during the break. So you know what? We did it!
Mamma mia! Yeah.
Cosmic wave boobies. Boobies.
What is this guy? I think he's an Indian?
Like, so
sorry.
Jesus!
Yeah, we mentioned it for one segment, and 20 minutes later...
I think the Fine Brothers caught wind of what we were doing, and they said, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, we got to put a stop to this. You know, these guys, they're going to take us down single-handedly. Either that, or they heard what I think is an even better alternative to React, and they're probably moving to trademark this one in the near future. And that amazing title is, of course, Opinionated Emotional Responses to Hypothetical Scenarios That Are Either Humorous, Dramatic, or Culturally Relevant to the Millennial Generation.
There you go.
I think that that's what they're doing. They decided to rescind these trademarks. They could pursue a trademark of that incredibly catchy title. What do you think?
Either way.
Either way.
Either way, we did it. The Fine Brothers got the message and completely made our entertainment entree null and void.
we're completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I feel like even though it ended up being not accurate, you know, all of our worry, I guess, it's still valid in my mind because it speaks to a larger crisis here in the entertainment world with companies trying to trademark and copyright common concepts. And I think that the Fine Brothers realize that this is an issue and this is an important issue and that many people were rightfully concerned about it. I think speaks volumes about them, and I'm glad that they're taking these steps to not just discontinue the React World program, but also rescind all of the React trademarks because they already owned, as I mentioned in the entertainment entree, they already owned a couple of those trademarks, and they're getting rid of all of them. I think that's a really good faith gesture by them.
Yep.
So you know what? We were just like sort of blasting them in the previous segment, and now I got to give them props. You know, they're doing the right thing. So
they are.
Good on them.
But it is a little weird, like they're trying to like hit the reset button, you know. Oh yeah, just kidding. None of this actually happened.
They should not have needed that incredibly awful backlash in order to come
right.
to this conclusion.
Right.
I mean, that's the other way you could look at it, which is also a fair reaction, if you will.
Yes, a true reaction. All right, but there you go. Enough crazy news from the YouTubes.
You watch. After the odd news,
we're going to
have another update.
April Fools.
April
just
Fools.
Kidding. We're actually going to trademark everything. We're going to trademark air.
Literally the word everything. we kid, we kid.
All right. Well, with that, let's finally launch into your newest batch of odd news. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada Basata, I don't make this stuff up.
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Yeah, time for the odd news.
Oh man, I love the odd news. It's always one of the wackiest and wildest segments. For those of you that may not be familiar with the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I, yes, react to the news. As I was saying that, I was like, oh, crap. Yes, I react to the odd news, and I can do it proudly and loudly now without fear of trademark infringement. But the whole gist behind the segment is that Rich keeps the stories hidden, secret, away from me, so I can't get a chance to see them. So it's my first time hearing them. These are my genuine reactions, my first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. Rich, what do you got for us?
All right.
It's been 2 weeks without this. I'm itching here
for
new odd news.
Let's start off with this story here. going to Turlock, California.
Okay.
And usually when we talk about BS, we usually are talking about things that are...
Bachelors of Science.
Okay, sure, but let's go with that.
No, yeah, we're usually talking about stuff that, you know, doesn't match up or, you know.
Yep. But unfortunately, this BS is something different because in Turlock, California, $50,000 worth of bull semen was randomly stolen out of a truck on Sunday night.
That BS.
Yeah, this kind of BS.
We had a story like this before, didn't we?
Yep. Well, it happened again.
God.
This particular bull semen came from the top 1% of the world's bull population, otherwise known as the Hugh Hefners of heifers.
The Hugh
Hefners of heifers.
The Hugh Hefners of heifers?
Yes.
Wow. That's a tongue twister right there.
Yep.
Bull semen. Yeah, we did have a story about this. It's the 1%?
Yeah, it's the top 1%.
1%, always keeping the little guy down.
Yep. It holds a lot of genetic value and is used to impregnate cattle all around the world.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky!
What a kink that is. My kink is bull semen.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky!
The stolen fluids in question was reportedly enough to impregnate more than 1,000 cattle.
Wow.
The victim of the theft, Anthony Rez, told police that it took months to collect the valuable genetic material.
That's super gross.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky!
You don't know how hard I worked! Oh, that's awful. Just a guy sitting on the ground, just going to town on these bulls. That's not actually how they do it.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky!
Anyone with information regarding missing bull semen is asked to call the Turlock, California Police Department.
Could you imagine that phone call? Like, hello, Turlock County Police Department. Yes, I would like to report a case of bull semen.
Yes, I noticed my neighbor had some random bull semen on his counter when I went over to stop by.
Yeah.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I noticed he had some semen out, and it didn't look human. I think it could be bull semen.
How do you know it's not human?
I don't know. That's a good question, Rich.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Is bull semen different in some way?
I don't know.
Okay.
I kind of don't want to know.
I'm risking the incognito mode.
Oh, God.
The internet's really slow, so I might not find this out tonight. Go ahead. Continue. My internet's loading. You know what? I think it's a sign. I'm not supposed to look this up. I'm always willing to do the risky click for you guys, just so you know. That's how much you guys mean to us. Or me, at least. I'm always risky clicking.
That's the Mike Costanzo motto.
That's my guarantee.
Willing to risk the risky click.
I'll click just about anything. It's for research. Go ahead, Rich. So how much money was this bull semen worth? Because I know it gets very valuable.
$50,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how much actual bull semen was it? Was it like a gallon, 2 gallons? Like, how much bull semen do you need to impregnate 1,000 cows? Is it like a couple of ounces per cow?
It can't be that big, because the guy ran away with it pretty easily.
So, yeah, I figure it's probably like a couple of ounces per cow, maybe. Not even. I don't know. I'm not going to think about it too much.
All right, let's move to our next story, then.
Yes, please.
All right, this one... this we're going from bad to worse.
Okay.
Okay, so in this one, we're going to Bangladesh.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a Bangladesh odd news
story. I don't think we have either. Internet is down for real. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Hey, maybe the people from Reactor are monitoring us.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in Bangladesh, a man with a condition dubbed the Tree Man disease is set to have bark-like warts on his hands and feet removed.
He's Groot.
Yeah, he's Groot.
I am Groot.
We are Groot. Spoiler.
Well, doctor said Abdul Bahandar suffers from a condition called epidermodysplasia verruciforme.
What was that? Oh my God! One more time, Rich. One more time for the listeners. What was his name and what was he suffering from?
His name is Abul Bahandar.
Okay.
And the condition is called epidermodysplasia verruciforme, which is...
That was good. That second one was good.
Thank you. Which is essentially a disease that causes warts to grow into a tree-like branch.
Branch?
Yeah.
When you say branch, you mean like it like sprouts out and like Groot style?
Well, not like leaves.
Is he a superhero? Not leaves, but like yeah, actual like twigs.
Like, yeah, it looks like a branch. Yeah.
Oh my God. Do you have a picture?
I'm sure you can look it up if you want.
Can't. My internet is down.
Another, that's another risky click if you want to go for it.
Well, I can't even spell that thing.
Yeah, I'm doing a horrible job.
Epidermis.
You
something.
Try saying it. This freaking thing is
Where
too
is
long.
It? Let me see. I can read this. Oh God. Epidermodysplasia. Vera. Oh, there's a second word.
Yeah, there's two words there.
Verruciforme. Sure, whatever.
Yeah. It's not. It's. Yeah, it's not as easy as it looks over here.
No, it's not. Why did they pick Latin?
Just to piss me off.
Just to piss. They're like sitting around thinking of what can we call these diseases? I know. Let's find the most complicated Latin word ever.
Well, anyway, director of the plastic surgery and burn unit at the state-run hospital, Samantha Lassen, has said that this is one of the most severe known cases of the condition, which is known as tree man disease. They feel.
Oh my God.
Did you get a chance to see it?
Holy crap, yes.
Uh-oh.
Here, I'm going to show you a picture, Rich.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Oh, you've seen it?
Uh-huh, yep.
Oh my God, he looks like Groot! He looks like Groot! Well, I shouldn't be so excited. I actually feel bad for the guy. That's awful. Go ahead.
Doctors said that the condition is caused by a defect in the immune system, which increases susceptibility to HPV. Bahandar was a former rickshaw driver who said that he was forced to stop working when these growths became too severe for him to use his hands.
Oh, my God. That's really depressing.
Well, there is a silver lining. All the surgery will be paid free of charge.
Okay.
The doctors felt sorry for him. The process will be slow and steady, but will take up to 6 months' time, according to Samantha Lassen, the director of the plastic surgery unit. So, luckily, he's getting the treatment that he needs and for free. So,
wow,
Godspeed,
well,
tree man.
Godspeed, tree man. Groot, we're with you. Yep. We're with you in spirit.
And please, for the love of God, never make me have to say that disease ever again.
Yeah, epidural, whatever, verriculum or something.
Vehicular
homicide.
You mix curriculum with vehicle.
Yeah.
Verriculum.
Verriculum. Oh. It's your curriculum about vehicles.
Yeah.
Verriculum.
All right. Let's go a little more lighthearted. Let's go to some good old-fashioned Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, it's... You all right over there? You're
my internet. My internet is busted. It's, like, not working. Go ahead.
Well, don't worry. I have entertainment for you right
That's
here.
That's right. I don't need the internet when I got odd news.
Yeah, all right. I printed out the stories.
Yes, old school style.
Old school, right here.
Well, I mean, yeah, if we didn't have internet, you know, if you had to look these up, you'd be screwed. So what does your old school, old person printout say?
All right, let's do this story. I have three Florida stories.
Oh, good
Florida,
God.
Yeah, Florida's back with a vengeance.
They're back, baby.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's do this one first. Florida cops are looking for an armed robber who wore saggy pants that showed off his butt crack during a stick-up.
Is that really... The headlining feature.
Yep.
He has a butt crack.
Yep. A big
okay.
one, too.
A big one, too? Wait. Did you add that in?
No, well,
or is that what they say?
I'm giving my opinion on this.
Okay.
The Fort Lauderdale Police Department has posted a video to YouTube which features surveillance footage that shows the unidentified man, dubbed the Butt Crack Bandit by cops, and a partner in crime trying to rob two people at gunpoint. The two get out of a car and approach two people who appear to be sitting down on a park bench. The man with the saggy pants points the firearm at the victims, while his pal, who does not seem to be armed, takes a backpack from them. The man with the saggy pants, realizing that his pants are falling down, has to reach up to pull his pants in the video. Then the robbers flee. Detective...
This is like a thrilling cop drama. He realized his pants were falling down, and he pulled them up.
Yes.
Dun, dun.
Very, very dramatic.
Yeah, very dramatic.
Detective...
Did they just give up? His pants started falling down, so then they ran away?
Well, they got the backpack.
Oh, they did get the backpack.
Whatever was in that backpack must have been very valuable, I guess.
A belt.
Detective said other surveillance cameras later filmed them heading east on Oakland Park Boulevard. Anyone with information about the incident can call Fort Lauderdale police about it. But this, right now, the Butt Crack Bandit is on the loose.
This is what I don't understand. You're going to be robbing people on foot. Why would you wear pants that could fall down and trip you
that easily?
That, yeah. I, all, like,
he
really,
did, all he did was pull out a gun. That's it. And that caused
him. That was the only thing holding the pants up.
The gun.
The gun. That's like, see, that's a scene in like a cartoon where a character like pulls his gun out and the pants just like unroll. You know, they're just like, and they fall all the way down, you know?
Yep.
Like, to have that happen in real life is just absurd.
Yep. Well,
was his friend like, yo, wear a belt next time? You said there were two of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Butt Crack Bandit is on the loose in Florida, so the next time you see a guy with baggy pants, be careful.
Just avoid all people with baggy pants.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a general rule of thumb. Don't deal with people with baggy pants.
Okay. You're baggy pantsist.
Well, baggy pants were popular like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody should be wearing baggy pants anymore.
That's true. That's true.
Get a belt.
You're talking about like the really baggy pants where they're like falling down past your butt. Like,
yeah.
I never understood that fad.
Get a belt. Get like, pants that fit. That fad is over. Please join us here in 2016.
Like, what are you trying to prove? That you have underwear? That you have a butt crack? Yeah.
I remembered underwear.
Yes. That's what it is. It's an easy way to check. They just look down like, yep, it's still there. One day you look out and it's just flapping in the breeze. You go, uh-oh. I mean, like, really, what was the point of the baggy pants? There's no way to know, I guess.
It was a style thing, and it's now out of style, thank God.
Thank God, yes.
All right, here's our next Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Going to Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Yep.
Okay.
Deputies say that a Land O'Lakes, Florida woman used reusable grocery bags to steal $199 worth of groceries from a Publix grocery store. That's the name of the grocery store, is Publix.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Publix, okay.
Then claimed that she walked out of the store without paying for the groceries for a weird reason.
Okay, so she openly admitted to this then, but well, she has an excuse.
Yep.
Okay.
Here's the story. On Friday, Publix store workers saw 51-year-old Paula J. Ernst selecting items and putting them in her shopping cart. She then allegedly took the groceries from her shopping cart and put them into her reusable Publix shopping bags, which she had brought with her. The county sheriff's office detective said that Ernst then walked out of the store without paying for the groceries. The incident was recorded by cameras and employees that wrote down her license plate number. She was then contacted at home by telephone. She was contacted at home by telephone by the cops and then returned to the Publix store. After she was arrested, Ernst told deputies that, quote, I did not mean to steal the items and that I walked out of the store on purpose because, and this is in the police report, I looked down into my pants and, oops, I crapped my pants. It's in the police report I crapped my pants.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Like, Also, Ed,
oops, I grabbed my pit. I just love.
Also, Ed, what is this? Do you, like, look down? Like, did you not realize you crapped your pants when it happened?
Well, I mean, 51 is, you said 51, right? That's not
she's
even 51.
That. 51, yeah.
That's not even that old. If she were like 71, maybe. But 51.
So, like, did she take off her belt and, like, look down in her pants? Oops, I crapped my pants.
Let me do an hourly check.
Yep.
Yep, all good on the Southern Front.
Yep, it's 6:20. It's time for me to check my pants.
It's like, Grandma, check your pants. Okay. She's not that old. 51. She's not that old. Oh, my God. That's incredible.
Maybe she's a grandma if she had a kid at, like, 18 or something.
Maybe. But regardless of whether she's a grandma or not, why is she checking her pants in public? Why wouldn't you leave the cart and just go back after you did your business? You know what I mean?
Also, did you check, like, in the aisle? Why didn't you go to the bathroom?
There's a lot of issues with this story.
Yeah.
I just imagine an old lady just, like, stripping down in the middle of a supermarket aisle and be like, whoops. But then taking the she packed up the groceries.
Yes. And bolted through the front door.
So, she packed up the groceries. You said she had like $200 worth of groceries.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
Right, not just like a handbag, yeah.
That took like 15 minutes to pack, probably. Because you can't crush the eggs and the bread, you know, you gotta put, you know, only one heavy item per bag. Like, this took thinking and planning.
All this while she had crap in her pants.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly she had crap in her pants. Do you think you could accurately bag groceries if you're sitting in a pants full, a load of crap?
Maybe if you have, like, Depends or something.
I don't think that would make it any better. I mean, I've never worn Depends, but I can't imagine.
Yeah. I don't want to know.
Do you think that would be better? Like,
no, I don't know. You crap your pants. Go home. Stop stealing groceries.
I mean, it's just an excuse to cover up the fact that she stole those groceries. I don't think she really crapped her pants.
I just love the fact in the police report it says, oops, I crapped my pants.
Like, those are dedicated police officers. They copied it down verbatim, I think.
Yeah, it's very important.
Very important. That's right. Make sure you accurately cite your sources.
Got to get the record straight.
We need
the exact wording here.
Oops, I crapped my pants.
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
Yep, you got the wording correct. All right, I got another Florida story here for you to wrap this up.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So we have a butt crack bandit on the loose in Florida. Lady pooping her pants at a grocery store.
That just made me think there's a lot of butt stories.
Yeah.
Is this next one about the butt or the southern region?
No, this one is just being stupid.
Okay.
An Escambia County man has been convicted of robbing a barbershop while being armed. Deputy said that Kristen Joyner walked into Medeyes Cuts and Fashions on Michigan Avenue and held an employee at gunpoint demanding money. But after the employee handed him the money, Joyner then took the gun, pointed it at his head, and said, "Give me a haircut."
Of course. Better idea. Go in, pretend you're a normal paying customer.
Get the haircut. Then rob the jewelry.
Then the gun comes out. Does it really take that much effort to think of that process? Or was the haircut a spur of the moment thing? He's sitting there.
Well,
he's like,
know why you're there.
While I'm here,
might as well.
You know. Did he pay for the haircut? That's what I want to know. Takes the money he just stole and gives it back to them. And leaves a nice tip, too. That'd be the craziest thing.
No, he only tips 10%.
10%. You bastard. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Well,
you got to get the haircut first. Come on.
Well, when the employee went to grab scissors, the two ended up in a struggle.
Also, yeah, you're inviting the person to grab a weapon to fight you with.
Yeah.
This whole story, what's to stop the guy from cutting your hair and just stabbing you right in the back of the head?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The gun went off, Joyner then fled the scene. Deputies said that Joyner's DNA and fingerprints were discovered at the scene. The victim was also able to identify Joyner as the suspect in a photo lineup. Christian Joyner now faces the possibility of life in prison with a minimum mandatory sentence of 20 years.
Wow. Minimum of 20 years?
Yep.
Whew.
So,
that for a haircut.
Yep, he just really needed that haircut, man.
I guess so. Get the haircut first. I can't believe he didn't think
of
that.
Or how about just wait until after the robbery? You know? I think there should be a list of priorities.
Yeah.
One, get the money. Two, get out of there as cleanly as you can.
Yes. Well, you say as cleanly as you can. Part of it is getting a nice...
nice shave.
A nice shave, yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, I always go off on the stories where robbers go in, they take what they need, and then they, like, take a nap or they eat something. But the haircut...
I need a haircut.
That is just insane. That is insane because when you eat something or you take a nap, that's because, you know, you're stupid. This is a whole other level of stupidity, though, because you're actively involving the victim of your crime and letting them take a weapon to your head. Right?
Also, do you think he's going to give you a good haircut? Let's say, for argument's sake, he's actually not going to hurt you with the scissors or the blade or whatever. Is he really going to give you a good haircut?
Take the clippers straight down the center of his head.
Yeah.
Reverse mohawk, right? Or just shave the word douche in the side.
Yeah. Or shave in the side of his head. He's the robber.
Yes. He's the robber. Call 911. I recently robbed a barbershop. My name is... It's like an entire paragraph.
Entire letter.
Yes. Dear police officer, please arrest me. Love... the barbershop. I don't know why it would be ending with love. Love, yours truly, the barbershop bandit.
So,
oh god,
there you go, man. Those people in Florida are up to weird crap.
Yes, they are.
All right, I got two more stories though to close this out. Not from Florida though. Done the Florida. Let's do this one here. A 26-year-old man who said he was going to fight an almost 6-year-old charge of stealing a bottle of Powerade had a warrant issued for his arrest last week.
He was going to fight a 6-year-old charge of stealing a Powerade?
Yep.
Why bother?
Well, it took 6 years, but the manager of a one-stop convenience store in Scotland tracked down the man who allegedly stole a 20-ounce bottle of Powerade. 6 years.
You had nothing better to do. The $2 you lost on that Powerade. Those are the $2.
Get him!
Those were the $2 he needed to keep his business running, apparently.
I need to find him. That dastardly fiend.
Let me tell you, if your whole business is resting on you getting those $2-$3 back, you do not have a good business model, okay?
When 26-year-old Peter Nicholas Mackey failed to show up to court, provincial court judge John Douglas had said that he had no choice but to issue an official warrant for Mackey on Thursday morning. Mackey is alleged to have stolen a bottle of Powerade from a grocery store in May of 2010.
God.
Mackey moved out of the Scottish province at the time and didn't finish filing the proper paperwork to fight the charges. Mackey claims the whole thing has been blown out of proportion and said that this shouldn't have even mattered on that day. I had $200 in my pocket that day anyway. So then why pay for it?
Didn't you pay? Yeah. He crapped his pants too.
Yeah, he crapped his pants too. He had to leave.
That's going to be the new excuse. Look, I crapped my pants. I just left with whatever I was holding. Sir, you walked out with a 50-inch LCD TV. Oops, I crapped my pants.
No! Yep, well, he claims that he wasn't stealing the Powerade that day. He plans on turning himself into authorities later this week, so...
Okay.
Justice will be served!
Yeah. Justice has won this day. I really want that to be like the newest trend in robbery excuses. Like, oops, I pooped my pants.
Oh, oops, I crapped my pants.
Oh.
All right, I got one more odd news story here for you.
Okay.
This one's a good one.
All right, what do you got?
In South Carolina, a woman has been arrested after allegedly beating up her husband after he refused to come to bed with her.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yep.
So, like, when you say go to bed with her, do you mean, like, sexy
I
time?
I know it's something to do with, sex.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, wouldn't he want to do that? Or was she just really, like, nasty, like an awful, ugly person?
51-year-old Sandra Earl Kelly was charged with aggravated domestic violence after police found her husband with blood all over him.
Wow.
The victim was watching television in the living room on Sunday evening when Earl Kelly came in and asked him to go to bed with her.
I know it's something to do with, sex.
Earl Kelly, who had been taking Xanax that night, started throwing ceramic figurines at her husband in a furious rage when the victim denied her advances. She kept coming at him, assaulting him with whatever she could pick up. Earl Kelly then allegedly grabbed a pair of nunchucks and went
Why?
To town on her husband.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Nunchucks.
Why are nunchucks just laying around? Just from, like, earlier that day, you happen to have your nunchucks out,
yeah,
playing with your nunchucks?
Right, I karate practice.
Sounds like a euphemism. Play with my nunchucks.
Well, I think the husband would have rather this been in a euphemism than the actual thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God. That's just... One, okay, like... I can understand owning nunchucks, but shouldn't they be, like, in a display case or, like, with your karate gear because apparently you're a ninja? Why are they just laying around in easy access to this rampaging hormonal woman?
She took the nunchucks and hit her husband in the head and the face.
Ow.
Yeah, that's why blood's everywhere.
What a bitch.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
That is old style.
Yeah, kung
it's
fu
like,
style.
Yeah, really. It's like feudal Japan style.
When police arrived, she said she did not know why the apartment was covered in blood.
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen?
That must have been a shock. Like, how the hell did this get here? Oops, I pooped my pants. I just want that to be the excuse for everything.
Oops, I crapped my pants.
Oops, and I crapped my pants.
I came out of the bathroom and, oh shit, there's blood everywhere.
It's the weirdest series of events ever. I crapped my pants, went in the bathroom, then there was a massacre. I definitely wasn't a part of it. My husband hit himself in the face with the nunchucks.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
The victim, who police say appeared to have defensive wounds on his face and arms, was taken to the hospital for his injuries. Jeez. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, gee, how did this get here? Everything's just destroyed. There's blood splatters everywhere.
Oh,
oh
my God. That's
wow.
That's going to be the new excuse. Yeah.
That's going to be
Oops,
the new excuse.
I crapped my pants.
Oops, I crapped my pants.
It works in every situation. You beat up somebody. Oops, I crapped my pants.
Bill, where's that expense report? Oops, I crapped my pants.
Johnson, where's that project? Oh, I crapped my pants.
Very well. Continue. Just gets back to crapping in the corner. I want to work in that office. Oh, I want to work in that office. Bill's just crapping in the corner, working on the expense reports. Oh, my God.
Folks, and there you go. That's what I have for you in this week's non-fortune cookie odd news. Well, let's recap everything that we learned. I think I know what the first thing we've learned from this show
I think
is.
So too.
But let's launch into it. It's officially time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike.
Oh.
We all know now, oops, I crapped my pants is a legitimate excuse for anything.
Yes, that is the latest trend in criminal excuses. Oops, I crapped my pants. On that note, I also want to work in that office where people crap in their pants to get out of doing actual work. That sounds disgusting and amazing all at once. Oh. But let's move away from the crap stuff. Oh, no, actually, let's go back to the crap stuff. I have three bullet points of crap-related items on this list. If you crap your pants, don't take the time to bag your groceries.
Yeah.
Just leave them.
Just leave.
Just leave them. Just go deal with what's down there, you know?
Check your pants.
Check your pants. Yes, remember, on the hour, every hour, check those pants. Just in case. You don't want to be surprised. Oops, I crapped my pants. It's like, why is it a surprise? This is just like, oh my god, how did that get there?
Hey,
but I didn't have any corn!
Someone crapped in my pants!
Oh. That damn guy, he snuck up behind me, opened my pants and crapped in them. That's disgusting! Also, how do you let something like that happen?
Alright, there you go.
That's it. That's what we learned.
That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Roll Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
There you go.
I'm just picturing somebody just running up and just... pulling somebody's pants down and just unloading it. The poor guy's just standing there like, why?
Why?
It's not even your own crap. It's somebody else's crap. You just have to pull the pants up and just live with it.
I'll tell you what, that's a hell of an excuse for missing work.
Yeah. Instead of, oops, I crap my pants, it's, oops, someone else crapped in my pants.
Oh, boy.
I don't think any boss would challenge that one.
Yeah. So there you go, folks.
Oh, my God.
That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and it's time to start wrapping this up. Oh, man. Our first show back from the blizzard of 2016. We had a couple hiccups here and there.
I guess you could say it was full of crap. But I'm... all right, forget
it. Sure.
We had a lot of poop jokes, Rich.
Yes, we did.
Because we're mature.
Yes.
And professional.
And, yes... oh, boy. Yes. Very professional here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right.
If you want to learn more about the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. If you want to...
why are you laughing?
If you want to hear more about our incredible professionalism, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Oh, where you can find some interviews, best bits, and other fun stuff we put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free. Straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You bastard! Oh, you can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
Yeah, boy, I mean, I tell you what, it feels good to be back doing this ridiculousness. I haven't laughed this hard since the last time we recorded the show 2 weeks ago, so thank you. Thank you, Mike, for providing
the laughs on this episode.
We're
both, like, dying here during the closing. When one of us talks, the other just starts laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, yep, definitely needed to come back and record.
Yep.
Some new episodes of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We have the whole series available on iTunes and our website, thecrispynoodle.com. We also have Mini Noodles, which you can find on SoundCloud. Those are the best bits of the show, condensed to a 2 to 3 minute portion that you can listen to on the go. You can share with family and friends. And anybody
the guy that pooped in your pants?
The guy that pooped in your pants?
They're like, hey, listen to this.
Yeah. give him an earbud while he's taking a crap in your pants. There you go.
What, you're sharing the same pair of earbuds?
Sure. Perfect.
Well, you're already sharing your pants.
Yeah, you might as well go all
the way. Might as well just go all the way. Oh, my God. But if you want to get in touch with us individually, hopefully not to do any of those things, You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Richly Big, RichlyEbig. That's it. We will see you guys after the Super Bowl.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.